There's only one who can bear the sins, our sins and the sins of the world, and make it right, and it ain't us. How many of you are glad you're not the Savior? Raise your hand, yeah. And I tell you, I raise my hand because I'm glad you ain't the Savior, you know?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, the conclusion of a message that's a little tough to deal with, but one that all of us will face at some time in our life, a message entitled, When a Loved One Dies. Yesterday when we left off, Pastor Wayne was about to explain that there's a right way and a wrong way to grieve. Here he is with part two of the message, When a Loved One Dies.
See, what he's saying is, even though he slays me, I'm going to trust him because he's so trustworthy. And I cannot see past the end of my nose. And for me to say, because I can't comprehend this thing of life and death, then because I can't understand it, God, you're confusing. And I am the one who is all-knowing. So therefore, you're wrong and I'm right. That's about the most arrogant stance one could take. Scientists say we use up to just 4% of our brain to comprehend things of this life. And I've got cousins where that's a huge stretch of the imagination. But 4%? So if we don't comprehend, it's understandable. But trust the one who is all-knowing. And so God is saying, wrestle with your emotions, not with God. Don't blame God, because once you cut him off, you will grieve as one who has no hope. Oh, it's tough sometimes when we grieve, especially when things are that we don't understand. But when you grieve, would you write in your notes there, grieve appropriately according to God's character. Grieve appropriately according to God's character. Let's read the scripture and you'll see what I mean. Go. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Would you underline, suffer according to the will of God? Did you know if the Bible says there's a way to suffer that's according to the will of God, that presupposes that there could be a way that I would suffer that's not according to the will of God? Inappropriate grieving in a way that it leaves no light at the end of the tunnel. And it's a self-inflicted suicide. God is saying, be very careful that you don't inappropriately grieve, because there's a right way to grieve and there's a wrong way to grieve. Let's read what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. Go. But we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no... You see, when you blame God and cut him off, you grieve as one who has no hope. But remember that God sees the end from the beginning. Now, we don't know what our life will hold tomorrow, but God does. So he knows the end from the beginning. And he sees all things. I remember a friend of mine who was a wonderful Christian that yet was young, 38 years old, died by this disease and just that fast. And I was grieving so much so. And I was actually upset at God that he would take him. Because I said, Lord, he was a good friend and he could have done so much for the kingdom. So much so was I grieving that I took time off of work to wrestle with this thing. Oh, I was in the deepest of the depths. And I was getting upset with God till God in his gracious patience began to reveal something to me. And he said, first of all, Wayne, when you grieve, grieve appropriately according to my character. Don't throw my track record of love and compassion out the window and start blaming me as if I'm some sinister God. Look at the context of my grace and my love and my embrace. And he said, as much as you love this person, it doesn't hold a candle to my love for that person. Did you create him? Did you stitch him together on the inside? Do you know how he goes together? Did you weave his innermost parts? I know him intimately. And if you thought you love him, it doesn't hold a candle to my love for him, first of all. Number two, do you know his future, what his future would have been like? Because he said, I do all things out of love. I know the end from the beginning. And I see him here at 5 years old, 10 years old, 20, 38, 50, 60. You don't see his future. You hardly know his past. I know him intimately from the beginning to the end. And because everything I do out of love, I know what will happen in his future. And just think, he said, Wayne, what if one day I showed you in heaven, if I left him on the scratch, what would happen when he turns 50? Maybe you would see him make a decision that would affect his destiny and his family. Right now at 38 years old, I know him. And though I take him now and you feel remorse, if you would see what would have taken place over here, it would be nowhere near the remorse you would have then. This is nothing. So although I know it's a little tough, it won't be nothing compared to if you see what I know. And so because I love him and I don't want him to live forever on the scratch. No, I've created eternity for him. All you're concerned about is him on the scratch. I love him infinitely more and I want him in eternity. You're not even thinking about that. And because I see him at 38 and I see him what's going to happen at 50 or 60. And I see it because I know his future. Watch this. God says, here's my love. I see him. I see what's going to happen. And I need to take him so that he'll have eternity forever with me. I will take him the best place because I love him so much. I'm going to take him home right about here. And if I take him home here, he will have the best chance to be in eternity forever with you. You have no idea about that. If you made the decisions the way you wanted to, you'd lose him. But because I love him infinitely more than you ever know, you must trust me because everything I do out of love. Trust me. And when you grieve, grieve appropriately according to my character, not your short-sightedness. Change the way I thought. You see, God is trustworthy. He's worthy to be trusted. And so grieve appropriately. You say, is there a way to grieve inappropriately? Sure. I saw a woman that was grieving appropriately. It's so neat. She was a wonderful Christian woman. Her husband had passed away and she was crying. And I came to her and I said, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad that you're grieving. She said, oh no. She said, I'm fine. I just will miss him, but I'll get over it. I said, but you're crying. She says, oh yeah, I'm grieving, but I'm fine. I said, well, I'm so sorry you lost your husband. She said, oh no, 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 I haven't lost him. I said, what? She said, oh no, you see, when you lose something, you don't know where it is. I know where my husband is. I haven't lost anything. It's just because I'm human, I'm crying. And I thought, man, is she a tough cookie or what? I thought, that's the way to grieve. She's grieving with hope. She was victorious. She was stalwart in her faith. And I said, oh God, give me that same kind of faith. God is saying there's an appropriate way to grieve, but there is also an inappropriate way to grieve. What are some of those? Well, let me give you a couple. One inappropriate way to grieve is if someone dies, a loved one dies, and my relationship wasn't the best, and that person dies, I'll have a tendency to go into this major depression of grief because it's like a self-inflicted penance. Because I haven't helped him. I should have done better. I should have had a better relationship and I didn't. So I just start punishing myself because I didn't have a good relationship and now that person's gone. And I punish myself and grieve and grieve and grieve. And it's almost an unbearable kind of grief. Now listen, it doesn't matter how much you grieve. If your relationship was bad, the amount of grief will never make up for that and change it. You cannot bear the sins of the past in your own grief, with your own grief. Doesn't matter if you did it for 100 years. Listen, you are not the Messiah. There's only one who can bear the sins, our sins and the sins of the world, and make it right. And it ain't us. How many of you are glad you're not the Savior? Raise your hand. Yeah. And I tell you, I raise my hand because I'm glad you ain't the Savior, you know. There's only one. So you can grieve and grieve and grieve and grieve, but it won't do it. You say, well, Wayne, how do you get out of that then if you really didn't have a good relationship? Well, there's only one who can get that taken care of. And it's not by going into grief. It's by going to the cross, to the one who can bear our mistakes and repent and simply say, Lord, I see now my error. I should have done it better. I didn't. Please forgive me. I repent. And it is he who will give you forgiveness. It is He who will give you hope. And then take the lesson, because death is often life lessons for the living, and then start evaluating your life. What other relationships are less than good? And deal with it. Learn from it. Don't do it again and again and again and think you can inordinately grieve for each thing and it makes it better. It will never. So repent. Go to the cross, not into grief. Go to the Lord. He's the only one that can give you hope and peace and forgiveness. And then learn the lesson by saying, Lord, what other relationships must I make good before they pass on? You see, often these things about death and dying contain great lessons for the living. That's why he says it's better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of partying, because this is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart. Another inappropriate grief is when we allow a death to cause us to give up on life and give up on work and just give up on relationship and just go into a sort of into this cave. You don't want to do that. Because sometimes we sort of are ready to give up anyway. And now this has become, now we don't do this intentionally. That because we're human and frail, we have a tendency to fall into this. Well, so-and-so died, so now I have an excuse to give up. And no one will really question me because that's the reason. No, don't do that. That's selfish, and that's blaming a loved one for my being a victim. No, that's a horrible thing to do. Well, I really love so-and-so, and that person is gone. I don't have any reason to live. So, well, do you love that person? Yeah. I asked this lady this once. She was in just deep grief. She couldn't pull out of it. She was giving up on everything. I said, you loved your husband, didn't you? She said, yeah, that's why I just can't do anything. I said, if you love somebody, what's the way to express love? Let's say your husband were alive and he said, honey, would you get me a glass of water? To express love, what would you do? Say, get it yourself. No, what would you do? You'd comply, wouldn't you? If he said, honey, could you bring me, you know, a blanket? You, to express your love, would say, absolutely, here. And you'd give that person a blanket. So you'd comply with their wishes. For the most part, that's a way to express love. To do otherwise would be the opposite of love, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. If your husband could speak right now after he had died, do you think his desire for you would be to give up on life the rest of your life? To live under a gray pall of bad emotion and just sit there and rot away the rest of your life? Do you think that would be his heart?
No.
I said, well, what do you think his heart would be? Wouldn't he say to you, hon, I want you to live. Get up with life and go find people to invest in. Take what God has given to you as an assignment and use your gifts and just make a difference. Love on the kids, love on people, go help, go do something for eternity's sake. Make your life the best you can the rest of your days. Honor God. Wouldn't he say that? She said, yes. Then I say, for you not to do that is a horrible way to think that you're expressing love to him. Because basically what you're saying to him right now is, no, I'm going to rot away. Do you think that expresses love? No, that's an affront to your marriage. That's an affront to your friendship. Instead, you need to be resilient and instead make the rest of your life the best. That's the best way to honor that one who's just deceased. Don't use him as an excuse to rot away. Make sure that you're expressing love correctly, and deep grief is the worst way to express it. So then she said, oh, that's right. So I said, honor him by living well. So you see, there are inappropriate ways to express grief, but we must grieve with hope. Now, all of this, we can talk about it, and there's so many things to talk about, and it's difficult to try and put it all into one message. But let me give you the bottom line. But would you write in number 3? Here's the bottom line. People, remember this. God is worthy to be trusted. Would you write that in there? God is worthy to be trusted. As much as you loved that loved one that died, your affection doesn't hold a candle to He who created that person and loves him. You see, we have to remember this. First of all, when we grieve because the Lord took someone home, or you took him home too early, whatever. Now, wait a minute. First of all, we have to remember this. This person was 50 years old. Well, instead of saying, God, you took him at 50, we should say, Lord, you gave him to me as a gift for 50 years. That's a long time gift. And we did nothing to deserve this person as a brother, as an uncle, as a sister, as a mom, or as a dad, as a son, as a daughter. We did nothing to deserve them in the first place. But Lord, yet you gave them to us for so many years. How grateful we are. Sure, there's going to be tears, but they're tears in hope. And instead of saying, God, I'm mad, there will be tears, but instead they're tears that also say, Lord, even though we'll miss them, we're so grateful that you gave this person to us as a gift for so many years. You say, well, Wayne, what about children that would die? Well, first of all, there's an age of accountability. And God never judges ignorance or inability to receive him. Mm-mm. People that are mentally incapacitated or disabled or children before they reach a certain age of accountability, if somehow they would die, the Lord swoops them into his arms immediately. And if someone is disabled and somehow mentally incapacitated, you will see them in heaven running free, thinking clearly, a child that will be virile at their perfect age. And you will recognize them and know them. Because God does not judge ignorance or inability. He only judges rebellion and chosen rejection. So God knows. And you see, if there's someone that you're not sure, well, what about this person? I'm not sure. He used to know the Lord. He came to church, but his lifestyle is bad. Well, even those, be careful. Be careful that we don't dictate who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. We have a tendency to do that. We think we're holy. You know, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. He's going to heaven, hell, 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 heaven, heaven, hell. And usually we rate people based on our perception of them and how they relate to us, like we're God. But be very careful of that. The scripture says it very carefully. Watch out. Don't decide people's eternities. Because first of all, even if someone came to know the Lord and then backslid, still be careful. Because remember, salvation is not determined by his or her performance. Salvation is determined by whose performance? Christ's, not ours. It is by faith that you're saved through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not us, it's his performance. And we don't know what's going on in the recesses of that person's heart that was deceased. You have no idea. You cannot see that person's heart. You cannot read that person's mind in the last few minutes. And sometimes we say, well, that person, his lifestyle is bad. Therefore, he's going to hell if he dies. No, be careful. If you're reading with us in devotions, remember Saul in the book of Acts was breathing threats to murder Christians. And you know, when he was blinded, God spoke to a man named Ananias and said, pray for Saul. You know what Ananias said? No way am I going to pray for him. He's a pagan. He's a heathen. He's going to hell. He's trying to murder Christians. You know what the Lord said? Don't you say that, because he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name to the Gentiles. I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute. While he's uttering threats against Christians, you said he's a chosen instrument? Uh-huh. You see, Wayne, you don't see the future when he's going to repent. You have no idea my plans. All you see is the present. If you make judgments and conclusions based on what you see, you will miss half my plan. Because even when you think someone is real bad, I have plans. I may have chosen that person already. Be very careful that you don't take my role and start sending people to hell. Be very careful before you judge. You see, here's something that might shock some of you. God does not send anybody to hell. You say, oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God didn't prepare hell for people. Now, before you send me letters, because I'm teaching heresy, let's read Matthew. Matthew 25. Ready? Go. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me ask you, well, who did he prepare hell for? The devil and his angels. Then, if that be the case, what has he prepared for people? Heaven. I will go and prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. God is going to prepare a place for every single one of us. Why? Because he intends for us to end up where? In heaven. He is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. God created and paid for eternity for us. That's where he wants us to end up. If we end up in hell, are people going to be in hell? Yes. But you got to choose to go there by rejecting his preparations, his invitation, his lead, his beckoning. You got to work hard to go to hell. Until the day you die, you must finally reject him at your last breath. And then he sends nobody to hell. You send yourself by choice. You make that choice. God's made his choice already on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now it's your choice. And so God's will is that everyone be saved. Now, will they? No, it's up to your choice, you see. So, but be careful, because you don't know what's going on the last moment of that person's death. So the best is this. If there is someone that you're not sure of where they are in their relationship with God, don't determine where they're going to go yet. No. I bet there's going to be some people in heaven. Some people you thought would never be in heaven are going to be there when you arrive. You know that? And there's going to be some people you thought should be there, ain't. Because you don't know. So let God determine that. Because sometimes we try to become the judge, but let's read what James says. Would you read it with me? Go. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Be very careful so that we don't take his role as the king. Well, you say, what if you're not sure? Here's the best thing to do. You entrust that person to the most merciful God in the universe. You think you're merciful? You don't hold a candle to the one who is called the Lord. He is the most merciful and the most gracious. So I would rather entrust that person to him, because he is merciful and he is just. He is good and he is all-knowing. So before we decide where they're going to go, the best is this. You just entrust him to the one who is all-knowing. Let's read what the psalmist says right at the end. Go. Thou, O Lord, art our God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. God knows what's going on in the depths of that heart of that person. And let him make the choice. He will be the wisest, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most just. I entrust that one to him. It's better to entrust that loved one to him who is merciful than to try and figure out and wonder. Just entrust, because God is worthy to be trusted. And when there is a loved one that dies, remember, that's the end of every man. All of us will go through that. So what is it? Is it a time to inordinately grieve? No, you will grieve, but grieve appropriately. But from every moment of those times where we're with someone, where our loved one dies, take lessons of life. And the three most important is our life is brief. So while on the spinning globe, make sure you don't miss the main assignment. It'll give you hope beyond the grave. So it'll give you confidence on the scratch. And we realize that we're not immune from the world's sins. No, Jesus wasn't. But he'll give us the edge. And if we have confidence beyond the grave, we're okay. And we're not in control of everybody and everything. But I know one who is. So I trust him. And you know what? God is worthy to be trusted. He is the most merciful and loving God. And as much as I thought I loved my dad or my mom, it doesn't hold a candle to how much my God loves them. He's the one that knit their innermost being together while they were yet in their mother's womb. No one knows them as intimately as my Father. I entrust them to him who judges righteously. There's no better place for them to be than before the King of Kings, gracious and compassionate. And then now take lessons and make sure that we live better because of what we've just seen. And when we do that, we'll be couriers of hope to a world that is desperately in need of hope. On this spinning globe, let's represent him well. And each time we are faced with death, let it make us better at giving away life to those in desperate need of life. Amen. Amen.
I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy you have for me. go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life.
You've been listening to a message entitled When a Loved One Dies by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.